We read of the prophecy of Jacob's star, the star that the wise men were to follow. And this is a little reading entitled Jacob's Star. One of the questions that haunts me most during Christmas is why? Why did God give the gift of his son to me? Where does worthiness fit in? For a while, I'd like to give myself the benefit of the doubt, by all accounts, I'm not worthy. And neither are you. God gives. Job realized that. And though he sometimes takes as well, blessed be he. In the Old Testament, God gave a glorious vision to a decidedly unglorious prophet named Balaam. The gift of the vision of Jacob's star to this betrayer of Jacob will always be a mystery. Balaam's fault was trying to play both ends towards the middle. On the one hand, there was Yahweh, who he feared, whom Balaam knew was still in control of his utterances. On the other hand, there was the wealth of Balak and his chance to cash in on his fear of the Israelites. Three different times and three different locations, Balak urged Balaam to curse the people of God, but quite beyond his power, when Balaam opened his mouth to curse, instead beautiful blessings came rolling out. Finally, when it was clear that curses were out of the question, Balaam proposed to Balak that he could still tell the king the future and what would be the outcome of his imagined confrontation with Israel. But as Balaam's fourth oracle came pouring out of the poor prophet's mouth, the future looked less and less bright. It was during the fourth oracle that Balaam saw far ahead into the future, farther even than he knew. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob, a scepter out of Israel. What Balaam saw was the coming of the Messiah. It was this prophecy uttered by Balaam, himself a wise man from the east, that started the Magi on their journey to find the one about whom the star spoke. Why would God allow such a deceitful man a vision so glorious, a vision of the star of the promised one? God will use whomever he pleases, not always whoever pleases him. He will bless scoundrels and liars with visions of stars and ladders that reach to heaven. He will embrace traitors and call them his friends, because you see, he is for the Balaams of this world as much as he is for you and for me. Because in the end, we're not all that different from Balaam with his divided heart and double-mindedness. That too is part of what Christmas means. That we are pretty much all alike. And so we are, all of us, invited to come to the stable, to stand together in the muck, looking to the one who has come and who promises to eventually lift us out of the muck. We are invited to worship one who was as ready to forgive and embrace an unrepentant Judas as he was a broken-hearted and ashamed Simon Peter. That is the light that has come into the world. And it is only right that his birth should have been heralded by a star seen rising 1,000 years earlier by one who in the end is not all that different from you and me. Why would God call me? Why would God love me? For at heart I know, and I trust that you know, that we're unworthy. Through the course of this Advent season, I've loved this little picture. It's a very simple image. A makeshift feeding box. Familiar story. But all I want to do just in these moments is to try and increase the sense of wonder of the length to which God has gone for you and for me. Just to increase the sense of wonder at the love of God towards you and me. That the God of all creation, the God who speaks and galaxies come into being, that God should become God incarnate, God in human flesh, born of the Virgin, because it was God at work, not man. And it had to be pure and holy in order that a sinful man could be forgiven and restored. There's a number of things that I just know as true. God is in control. God is sovereign. God is in control of my life. And way before I was even thought of in the eternal counsel of God, he had a plan that he would save me, that he would call me, that he would allow me to respond to his love. And for many of us as Christians, we can say the same things. I want just to give you one verse tonight from Psalm 139. All through this year and the evenings, we've been looking at the Psalms. Psalm 139, verse 16. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. You see, when we look at the Old Testament, hundreds of years before all the events of Bethlehem, God told us it would happen. When we look at the events of the Christmas story, they were prophesied long before. Hundreds of years later, it takes place exactly as God said it would. Part of the eternal counsel of the eternal God, his eternal plan. And he knows every one of us better than we know ourselves. And here's a remarkable truth. That before my mother, now deceased, was having morning sickness because of me, God knew me.
Before I was ever born, he knew me. Before any of my days on this earth had been, he knew me. And part of his plan was to allow me to understand his love, to respond to his call, to be the recipient of his grace, to learn what it is to worship him and to walk with him, and even in the economy of God, to become a minister of his good news. I wasn't born in a stable. I was born in Staub Hill Hospital 4 days after Christmas, 29th of December, 1962. You can do the maths. I was taken home to a room and kitchen in Springburn, where my mum, my dad, my two older brothers lived. And then we got a promotion and moved over to Knightswood. The closest I ever came to a stable was in holiday. We were on holiday in Kirkcaldy. Young people don't believe you went on holiday to Kirkcaldy. And there were only so many beds. So I was put in a drawer. Thankfully, my father had the sense to pull it out, put it on the floor, place me in it, just in case my two older brothers had come along and thought, shove that, right? Here's the thing. It would never have happened. Because God had a plan for me. They'd never have shut the door. God had a plan for me. Even before I was born, every one of my days, he knew. Closest I got to that level of discomfort. I didn't understand that plan. I celebrated 17 Christmases and didn't understand Christmas. But before my 18th Christmas, the light penetrated this heart. I became a Christian. I repented of my sin. I'd asked Christ to be my Savior. I'd understood that he loved me, that he would save those who put their trust in him. I became a believer. And God knew that even before I was born. I was a print finisher. I was a box maker. Never thought I'd be anything other than a print finisher and a box maker. But God knew differently. Why did God love me? Why did God save me? Why did God have a plan for my life? I'm so unworthy. And that's what happens. You increase the wonder. We are unworthy. We don't deserve any of this. We owe it all to God. And anyone who's a Christian owes it all to God. And everything we do in the power of the Spirit which he gives us, in obedience to his word which he has given us, and for his glory, because that's why he made us. And this Christmas, I just want you to know something, that God does love you. God in Christ calls out to you. God in Christ has a plan for you. And you may never have embraced that. You may never have been embraced by him. And this Christmas, he would just call out to you and say, I don't care whether you've celebrated 17 Christmases without me, or 49 Christmases without me, or 54, or 62, or whatever. this Christmas could be different. Because I reach out to you in Christ. And I invite you to believe. I invite you to respond to my love. I invite you to enter into my plan. I invite you to know the fullness of my love and my joy and my peace. And there are many days when I forget that God's known me even before I was born. There are many days when I forget that God has got a plan for me. There are many days I just get caught up in me and my thoughts and my plans. But the most beautiful place to be is in that place of realizing that God does love me, God has called me, and God does have a plan. And this God who transcends time still delights to meet us in time and to change us for all eternity. And I invite you this Christmas to know that love, to know that God, who to know is to know life eternal. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and made a dwelling among us and invites us to follow and to enter into his plan and to enter into his purpose. We're going to sing a closing carol. Thomas is going to bring a little blessing and Jacob's star prayer. And then in time there'll be some tea and coffee. But again, let me encourage you. If God is just calling to you, do business with him. Trust him. Perhaps even return to him.